Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with New York artist Matt Elzweig. He does these great sketches of New York City, and he's taken advantage of the pandemic by creating what he calls My Lockdown Sketchbook on Instagram. I found out about Matt on another podcast that I listened to, and I knew I had to talk to him. Enjoy. Okay. So I am loving your My Lockdown Sketchbook.
Thank you so much.
So have you always drawn?
Not to the same amount. Like, not as much as I have been with this. So Basically, like, I've done other stuff, and I mean, I always liked to draw, just like when I was a kid, just for fun.
Right.
But nothing serious. I mean, I liked art class, but it was not something that I pursued.
Right.
And at various points, I'm going to say like years and years apart, mm-hmm. I would find like just kind of the urge to draw stuff. And I would do it for like maybe a month or a couple of weeks. And then I would never, except for, you know, like scribbling something down on a notepad at a job or something when I was bored, for years, not doing anything. And then I think it was when the lockdown, it was right after the lockdown happened, I got laid off from a hospitality job, and I had all this time, and I just started drawing again, but like every day.
Right.
And at first I started like checking out like YouTube videos and stuff, but after a while I just kind of got bored of it. And I just started experimenting, so that's pretty much just the past year or so. I drew a little bit here and there as a kid, but not, it wasn't something I pursued. It was just years and years apart, I would a couple of weeks or a month, I would come home from school or work and draw, but then I would not do anything for years. And then up until the lockdown in like around March 2020, mm-hmm. The most I ever did was just like maybe scribbling something on a pad at work when I was bored, or designing a Halloween costume or something like that. But other than that, I didn't start drawing like every day or almost every day until the world went crazy.
Right.
And I had all this time. Like, I was working in a cafe part-time, and mm-hmm. and suddenly I wasn't, so,
right.
For people like me, obviously COVID's horrible, but it just gave me all this time to do stuff that I either wanted to do for a long time or didn't know that I wanted to do for a long time.
So. Right. And I kind of, and I hesitate to say this because it's not been good for everyone. It's been so bad for a lot of people, but it was actually very good for me, because I also work in a hospitality job and I had time off. And that's why I think I was so interested in your story, because you were able to make the most of COVID and just kind of turn it out for good. I've heard of, you know, people doing like really creative things and really kind of reinventing themselves in taking the lockdown opportunity to do that. And I think it's such a good opportunity to do that. Although, I mean, but I feel so bad saying that, because it's been so bad for everyone, and just kind of like it's kind of seems wrong to take advantage of it.
Well, I mean, I think when people know the context of what you're saying, that it's understandable. It's not, I don't think that people would take it that way.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
in a negative way.
And yeah, I think COVID was great for me, because I had time off from work. But I mean, and because I had time to pursue, you know, my creative stuff too. But I didn't do anything cool like this. I think this is like super cool. I think this is so creative. Just like my lockdown sketchbook, and just kind of like drawing like scenes from New York, and your drawing is fantastic, and I just love the style of it. And I was looking at your Instagram page today, and I was thinking you should like totally do like a travel book, like for New York or something like that. Because I was born in upstate New York, but I've not been to New York City, and or not, I've been through it, but you know, a lot of people haven't. And I just think that, like, your sketches are just very, very, they bring the scenes to life, and you feel like, you kind of feel like you are there.
Well, I really appreciate that. I mean, and it's just, I mean, I've since taken it down, because I don't know how long I'm going to have that Instagram, probably for a long time. But I used to have a thing up underneath, you know, your profile, and it said, like, learning to draw so I don't lose my mind. So when you say that you like my drawings, I really appreciate it from, like, the level of, you know, relatability. But, I mean, if you ever look at the people that I follow on there, there are people that, from a technical perspective, could draw, like, I'm trying to think of a better example of, say, a better stock phrase than, say, draw circles around me. Cause
right, yeah.
I'm still struggling to draw a nose correctly.
Right, right.
But anyway, no, and actually, when you said the thing about, I said do a travel book, I bit my tongue, but I was about to say, like, yeah, but I'd have to be able to travel first. But New York, I guess that's something I could do. I mean, most of what you see on there is just my neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be honest.
I mean,
the surrounding neighborhoods.
Right, right. Because, I mean, like, you hear all these cool things about New York City, and you see Friends and Seinfeld and stuff like that, and you just like, seeing your drawings is kind of reminds me of that. Just kind of like, it kind of brings me there. Without being there. And I'm kind of, I mean, and I like, I'm the kind of person who likes to travel without traveling. I don't really like to go anywhere. I just like to read about it and learn about it and just kind of feel like I've been there.
I get that. I mean, I do that as a distant second to actually traveling.
Yes.
But that's the more affordable option, so.
So, I mean, I can totally see that. I think that'd be...
But I get a lot of people that the logistics of traveling drive them crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, like, when you're drawing, like, your scenes from New York and your scenes from your neighborhood, is there, like, any kind of, like, what are you trying to convey? Like, are you just trying to convey your emotions of the place, or, like, or the people there, or, like, what's going on in your head when you're doing that?
Well, I don't really think of it, like, ahead of time like that. What I do is, like, if I'm working or running errands, or if I'm socializing or something, I just have this old Android in my pocket, like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Other people have better phones. and I just pretty constantly, I'll see something and I'll take a bunch of pictures of it, because I've always liked, on a very amateur level, especially since, you know, cell phones are created, or smartphones are created, I love taking pictures. So I like the idea that you know, let's say there's, like, one thing in a space that you want to take a picture of, or in my case now, like, I want to take a picture of, excuse me, I want to take a picture of and then possibly draw later or paint later.
Mm-hmm.
Then I like the process of, like, you take 30 pictures of the same thing,
mm-hmm.
and maybe one or two of them are, like, what you were looking for.
Right.
And then I start from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and so what I do is I just have, like, this folder on my desktop, on my laptop computer, and I just called it a computer. I'm old. But anyway, I have this folder that just literally says stuff to draw, and I'm constantly, like, sending it, you know, to the Google Drive, and then when I get home, I download it and I put it into the folder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes I don't get to it for weeks and months and stuff, but I'm constantly doing that. So
cool. So you're constantly looking for ideas to things to draw.
Yeah, so it's not like, I mean, there's been a couple of occasions where I've drawn, like, more of, like, a cartoony kind of thing, where it's, like, it might be, like a political idea or, like, a social commentary idea,
mm-hmm.
but the majority of the time, it's just, like, I see something, I take a picture of it, put it away for later, or if it's really, giving me an itch to scratch, I'll draw it right away, mm-hmm. when I get home.
Yeah.
And then I might, like, form an image of, like, how I want the colors to look, you know, which is a challenge, because, like, I don't know a lot about, like, mixing paints or, you know, there's only so many markers that you could have.
Right.
You know.
Do you do them in markers or paint?
What's that?
Do you do them in markers or paint?
Both. More often markers, because
it's easier.
makes less of a mess, and
yes.
And I don't have to do all kinds of research and experimentation to know what it's going to look like in terms of mixing. But sometimes I'll use watercolors, so I just use the first couple I tried using colored pencils.
Mm-hmm.
Partially, you know, it was my lack of technique, and partially it was just that I had very cheap colored pencils, but
mm-hmm.
I moved away from that pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, maybe at some point, you know, mm-hmm. when I have like a bigger art supply budget, I'll get some really good ones and try that, like on toned paper or something. But
right.
But yeah, it's usually, if I use paint, it's, at this point, it's just watercolors, and sometimes I mix them, like markers and watercolors.
Right, right.
And ink.
Yeah. Yeah, I think paint is very messy. I think so. If I try to draw anything or color anything, it's usually markers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Well, one thing that you know, I've really only done it sporadically, but one thing I've noticed when I work with watercolors that I think is kind of cool is almost always, except in the occasions where it's really been a disaster and I've ended up throwing something out.
Mm-hmm.
What I notice is that from like at least like halfway, a third to halfway through the painting,
mm-hmm.
of the thing that I've drawn,
mm-hmm.
I go through this like kind of freak out of like, oh, I just destroyed this and this thing is like a total disaster, because of, not because I'm being a perfectionist, but because like I kind of don't know what I'm doing and the colors are bleeding into each other and going all over the place and stuff. But then it's like, if I stick with it, a lot of times it just kind of like works itself out somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's that is the beauty of paint that I remember. I'm not an artist. I took a few art classes in school, but I don't, sometimes I like to design. I was a graphic design major, so I like to mm-hmm. kind of design stuff. And when I moved into my place, I was poor, and I was still poor, but I didn't have money for art. And so I made my own, but I wanted cool art in my house. So I kind of like, you know, did my own kind of thing with paint and markers and stuff like that. But yeah, so I totally, totally get it. But,
are you a designer now at all?
No, I kind of fell out of that. I got a job right out of school, and then I just kind of like, when that ended, I just kind of was like, okay, I don't want to do this again. So,
uh-huh.
And I do kind of play around with it, and I'll do it for my mom. Like, she's a piano teacher, so I do like all of her corporate identity and logos and stuff like that. And I'll do it for like, you know, just for people that I know, but not professionally. Yeah. And I don't even think I have the updated software to do anything
yeah,
real.
Yeah, there's a lot of hoops you have to go through to get into that, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So it's I wrote a book, and I've been working at Starbucks and doing the podcast and stuff like that. So I've been doing a lot of cool stuff, I think.
Yeah. What's the book about?
The book is called Reptiles on Caffeine, and it's about the fight or flight stress response.
That's a great name.
Thank you. It's basically, I worked at Starbucks and worked in food service basically my whole life, and was kind of just very interested in people's kind of default reaction, like impatient reaction. And just kind of researched it. I was like, why are these normally nice people just getting so like wigged out over their lack of coffee? And so I kind of researched it and wrote this. It's a funny book. And it's something we all suffer from. So it's not anything, you know, not because they're evil or anything. It's just, you know, just because we're impatient and we're tired and stuff and stressed out. So.
Cranky,
exactly. So that was kind of like my, and I wanted to be an author, and I still do, but and I did publish that, but it hasn't done as well as I thought that I would hoped that it would do, but a lot of marketing is involved in that, so.
Oh yeah, yeah. I kind of
I had a quickly failed experiment with a Shopify store for print on demand for some of my drawings.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, it was like, I don't know what I was. I guess I was just like, enough people had suggested to me that I do this and that, and, mm-hmm. and I had sold a couple of t-shirts on like, you know, print on demand sites like not Teespring, what's the other one, TeePublic or something like that, or like Amazon by Design, or I can't
remember merch or something like that. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
yeah.
But the well, first of all, there's so much competition. There's so, and the margins are so small.
Yes.
On those sites, that it's like, it's a cool little like ego boost, like when you get likes on social media, when right. some stranger across the world, on the other side of the world, maybe buys your a t-shirt with your painting or drawing on it, but you only get like $2 or $3 commission on that, and there's right. only one of them doing that. So
yeah.
So I just figured, unless you're like a marketing whiz, or you have a lot of money to pay somebody to do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody must have mentioned it, and it was like in the back of my head, and then I just figured, oh, I'll just try. Like, I like designing. I mean, I'm not a web designer, but I mean, like, drag and drop. I like to design websites and
yeah, things yeah.
like that. So I put up a shop, and I even like bought some ads on Instagram, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized quickly that you just have to, first of all, you have to throw like a lot of money into advertising, and it's not like something that, it just seemed to me like, it's like when people say like, oh, I'm going to do like real estate on the weekend, and they right. think that they're going to just like,
exactly.
you know, in addition to whatever. Yeah. So for now, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. But it was a fun experiment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and I listened. And I listened to those podcasts, like the one I heard you on, like Side Hustle School, and I listened to Side Hustle Nation.
Oh yeah.
And I listened to like all those people, and they're like, and it's like they just appear online, and they get like thousands of people buying their stuff, and I'm like, why can't that happen for me?
Well, I mean, you also got to consider that, especially that podcast, his episodes are like what, 10 minutes long. So
yeah.
So I mean, I'm sure that he gives a good amount of background, but you know, there must be something that you're not hearing
right,
about the
right.
ones that you're talking about. I mean, they're not all like super successful, but like the ones that you're talking about, where they're, you know, they're moving all kinds of product.
Right, right. So yeah, no, but I totally get it, and so yeah, that's building traffic and stuff like that is something that I am still very, very, very new at learning how to do.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
But yeah, it's so. But you said that you've sold some of your stuff to like people far away.
No, I wouldn't say. Well, technically, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've sold a couple of T-shirts on print-on-demand sites.
Cool.
But and actually, one of them, I hope this person doesn't hear this. But some random person sent me. They must have seen my designs on I think it was TeePublic or Redbubble or one of the TeePublic, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent me an email, and they were like, "Can you do a painting of?" And then they gave me the address of this building.
Mm-hmm.
And like, first of all, I never did a commission before, except like occasionally, and some of them are on the Instagram. I've had ideas about like friends of mine, and I'm like, I'm gonna just draw this and give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they like it, I'll just like have them take a selfie with it or whatever.
Yeah.
But this person said like, this building on such and such an avenue in Queens, can you do a painting of it? And like, I never did a commission, so I didn't know like what I would charge or how long it would take me. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew how long it would take me. Mm-hmm. But then when I looked it up on Google Maps, even though it's 10-minute walk away from here,
mm-hmm.
it was like, if you can imagine the most dull residential building, like, so, I mean, I guess I could have painted it, but I just right. was not, you know, and I could have used the money or whatever, but however much they were willing to pay me, but it was,
right.
the only thing interesting about it was that the street is on like kind of a slope, so the building looks like it's on a diagonal, but the building itself is like the most boring red brick functional
thing. So you didn't know how you would make it interesting.
I mean, it's not that I didn't know how. I guess I just wasn't motivated enough to pursue it.
Like, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Because, like, if I was very established and people paid me all kinds of money for stuff and perhaps more skilled, mm-hmm. then I guess I would be willing to kind of just do that for the money or whatever. But
right.
It's totally like my relaxation. So
okay.
I'd rather use that time for whatever I want to draw or paint.
Right. I get it.
You know.
That's actually kind of cool. That's you haven't sold out.
Well, I don't consider it selling out. It's just I just didn't. I guess I don't know. You could call it laziness. I don't know. I guess I just was guarding my free time, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that the free time is very valuable. I've found recently, yeah. For sure. So I think that's really cool. So you said that this was your first commission offer, or you had?
Well, it's not entirely true because my friend liked one of my paintings on there, and he offered to pay for it, but I just gave it to him because mm-hmm. it's like a close friend of mine.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a commission, that's not commission. That's like a offer to purchase.
Right.
Because it had nothing. The reason I painted it had nothing to do with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But. Yeah, I guess that's my first. That was my first offer for a commission.
Cool.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I think that would be very validating.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say no outright. I just said to him like, well, email me because he contacted me over that site, and I was like, and give me some more information, and I, you know, I don't know how much I would charge because I never did a commission before, and then I never heard from him. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm imagining that it was like whoever owns that building.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
That's possible. So or like,
manages it.
How do you pick your scenes?
How do I pick my scenes? Usually I'm just somewhere and it just occurs to me that this place would look cool from any number of angles.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a place that I really like mm-hmm. hanging out in, like there's like a patio behind this cafe that I go to a lot around here that I ended up drawing. And sometimes it's like if I drew this, would it force me to try like a certain thing that I might not be good at, like a certain type of perspective that I want to try experimenting with.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, I don't know how well I've done it, but I've tried doing that sort of like almost like fisheye technique where you see somebody draw a room and it's like, it's kind of popping out, but it's a little bit warped.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll be in a room and I'll just say like, oh, this is cool. It's kind of like there's an artist that I've seen that has done stuff like that in a very cool way. Maybe I could try that. Or sometimes it's just like, I like a lot of things that are not intended to be.
Yeah.
Like I was visiting my hometown, last weekend, and I drove, on the way there, like right at the border of the town next to the high school, there's this gigantic, I guess it's some kind of a power station.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these weird spires and columns and, you know, wires hanging down. It looked kind of dangerous, actually. It's next to a bunch of railroad tracks.
Uh-huh.
And it's a small town, so I'm not going to sneak in there and start taking pictures. And it was freezing out, so I didn't stop my car.
Right.
But something like that might catch my eye. Or sometimes it's even like when I'm running or something, I'll see something and then I'll just stop. I'll pause my fitness tracker and I'll just take out my camera and start snapping photos of something like birds on a street sign or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So
that's really neat. I think if you can kind of see something at a different angle, something normal, like just everyday kind of landmark at a different angle, I think that can be very inspiring. I think it's, yeah, I can get inspired by pretty much anything. And yeah, I used to take pictures all the time, just be like, just cool things with cool angles and just, I don't draw or anything, but I just thought it was just a neat scene.
Well, maybe you should try.
Yeah, I've tried to draw before, and I can't. It's not that I can't, but it's just not anything that I'm really that good at. So I just much rather just appreciate other people's art and talk about other people's art and just, you know, learn about it, and if I get the urge to draw something, I might try. But I prefer to leave it to the people who are really good at it. So.
Well, that's fine too. I mean, I don't necessarily consider myself one of those people either. It's just like, I just know that even if I have a knack for something,
mm-hmm.
This is at the risk of sounding totally pretentious here. I just find that the things that I really like doing most mm-hmm. are the things where I like to do them, but I don't have to be, like, I'm not doing them to achieve something else. Do
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah, totally.
And for me, and, totally. And I mean, if I could do that with visual art, then I would love to do that rather than, you know, do whatever else from 9 to 5. But
yeah,
but even if that never happens, I enjoy it so much that it's kind of like, to me, that's the indicator that it's something that I really enjoy doing.
Yeah, totally. No. I'm totally on board with that. I think that's so great that you said that, because I think that's and it doesn't sound pretentious at all. So I mean, I think
it's just because I didn't always realize that. Like,
yeah.
And I would try to do other things, and you know, for some other motivation, and it's different.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, as far as just like what I decided to draw or take a picture of to draw later, and I find this really difficult. I do it sometimes, but I'm not comfortable with it yet. It's just drawing like in real time,
mm-hmm.
not from a photo.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, like I guess even if I never picked up a pen or a pencil or a paintbrush or anything, I'm one of those people, unfortunately, where like I could be talking to you and listening to you and making an active effort, but if something shiny catches my eye in the periphery,
yep.
it just keeps bobbing back to that.
I'm the same way.
and I think that's part of what I choose to draw.
Yes, that is awesome. That is very cool. So you draw your distractions.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, it starts as a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
I think that's awesome. Yeah, I think that's...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what if middle managers would agree with you, but supervisors passed. But it's useful in this way.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. So you said that you work in food service when you're not drawing.
Not right now. No, I do. I might start doing that again in the future, but I do like content writing, and I'm trying to get into more copywriting.
Oh, perfect.
And then I also do voice acting.
Yeah, I noticed the voice acting stuff, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and that's another thing that, because I was doing that in my spare time, like as a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then when everything shut down, I just had all so much more time to. In fact, before you called me, I was just doing some auditions. So,
oh, neat.
Yeah, and now it's like everybody has to have a home studio. So, for people involved in that, it was the lockdown gave them like a lot of time to advance their careers in that way.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds very ideal.
Yeah.
So very cool. Well, yeah, yeah, I think.
It's a matter of tying it all together, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Totally. So, yeah, you've got a lot of cool things going on. I think that's really awesome.
Where are you? You're in North Carolina, I guess?
Yes, Charlotte.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, yeah, we...
I have friends down there, but I don't think they're in Charlotte.
Yeah.
One of them's in Raleigh.
Okay.
And the other one is my friend's parents just moved down there, and they're in the Charlotte area, but they're not in Charlotte proper.
Okay. They're like in Matthews
Norman
or something?
Lake or Lake,
oh, Lake
Norman.
Lake Norman. Lake Norman. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not too far. Not too far. Yeah, Raleigh's about 3 hours away.
Okay.
So, yeah. But yeah, Charlotte is, I've really grown to like it. It's not as cold as New York, for sure. And
especially your part of New York.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember a whole lot about it, but it doesn't, because I was five when we came here. But
oh, okay. I realize that.
Yeah. But I learned to talk up there, so I don't have a southern accent.
Well, isn't North Carolina sort of like the? I mean, I know it's in the South, but isn't it like kind of borderline in terms of accents and things like that?
Yeah, we've got a lot of transplants. A lot of New Yorkers. A lot of my dad worked for IBM, so a lot of IBMers came down in 1980. And we've got a lot of it was a big banking town, so a lot of people from all over. So, I mean, there's actually, it's very seldom that you'll find someone who was actually born here.
Oh, okay.
But there are a few. And, so yeah, it's actually a very, I've grown to like it. It's, yeah, it's, not a big city, and I'm probably actually kind of happy about that, because I'm not very comfortable in big cities. But yeah, and I hear it's cheaper than other places, which I'm, I've not really been a whole lot of places, so I don't really know. But yeah. So you said that your hometown is somewhere else?
It's on Long Island.
Okay, so you still so in New Yorker?
I live in Queens now, so it's like a little under an hour drive from here.
Okay, that's not bad.
So. Depending on, you know, when you go there.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of cool things going on and a lot of, New York sounds like a very cool place and a lot of cool things to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, on the other hand, it's like you can be from a place like this and not leave enough. So there's like a whole other part of the country to see.
Right.
You know, you can become provincial in your own way.
Yes, yeah, that is true. Well, this has been so awesome. Thank you so much for talking to me about your art.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for contacting me about it.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if I've ever been interviewed before. I'm usually the person interviewing other people.
Well, what do you like? What kind of stuff do you interview?
Well, now I don't do it, but I had a podcast for a long time, and before that, I was like for a couple of years I was a newspaper reporter.
Cool.
And just like for copywriting, sometimes I have to interview people behind the scenes, like just to do research. So
right.
So yeah.
Yeah. That is like my dream job, copywriting.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm making some headway, but right now I'm doing mostly content writing, which mm-hmm. is cool, but it's, you know, the pay's not as good. And,
right.
You know.
Right. Yeah, I was an advertising graphic design major in school and really, really liked the copy. We only had one copywriting class, but I really, really liked it and wanted to get more into it, but I just didn't. So, but I think.
Yeah, well, it's definitely worth exploring.
Yeah. Yeah. So that sounds awesome. So you're new to it?
I mean, I did it for a while and then I stopped mm-hmm. so that I could focus on voice acting and you know, like maybe some freelance copywriting, but mostly on the voice acting stuff.
Yeah.
I worked at a school and I was like in their marketing department, but I'm kind of new to it again because I'm trying to build like a new portfolio and everything. So
right.
You know. It also kind of helps if you have like an agency background, which I don't. So
yeah, I don't either. But
because that way you're not just your samples are not going to just be all about one brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
well, I was listening to some of your samples, and I really thought they were very great.
What's that?
The samples that well, I mean, not your covering samples, but your video samples.
Oh, you mean the. Oh, like my podcast?
Yeah, well, the YouTube ones.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. I stopped doing it, so I didn't have a host anymore. So but I didn't want to, like, delete all of them, so I just put them on there.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's kind of tedious, but it's not difficult to do.
That is good to know.
Yeah.
So yeah, because I was, yeah, that was something that I was kind of like afraid to do, because I I had to like WordPress renews every once in a while, you know, every year or whatever, and I'm like, what do I have to do it, because then I'm gonna lose everything. But that's a right. great idea.
Well, you are do you have a host though? Like what do you call it? Because like I had a website that was more like, it was like a landing page, but then I had like a podcast host where they distribute it to all the different, like, I use Libsyn, but there's like a million of them. Like you, and
Blue? Oh gosh, what is it? My boyfriend set it up, and I don't know what all it is, but I know it's through WordPress, and then there's it's through. I don't remember what it's through.
Well, there's so many of them, but like you could use Acast or, but basically what it does is you could host a website on your, like you could host a podcast just on your regular home, like your own WordPress site.
Uh-huh.
But then you have to do all the distribution and SEO, whatever, yourself,
right.
which is difficult.
Yeah.
So you get a host, and that automatically puts you on like, the biggest one is the iTunes store.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Apple iTunes, whatever, not the iTunes store.
Right.
Because your podcast is free, I assume. Right. And it also puts it on, like, you know, Stitcher and, you know, all the different places that people, you know, wherever you get your podcast, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, but.
Yeah.
And it's not super expensive, so.
That's good to know. And that is awesome. Those are great ideas. Those are fantastic. Awesome. But thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks again.
And I will let you know in this post, and if you could share it to all of your people and all of your networks, I would appreciate it.
All 200 of my followers? You got it.
Yes.
If you throw in a free t-shirt, yeah. Sure.
I don't have any t-shirts.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I'll definitely do that.
Cool. Absolutely. But thank you so much.
Thanks so much. It was fun.
Absolutely.
Have a good one.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much to Matt Elzweig for chatting with me. It's so great to see your art and see New York from your perspective. If you want to see more of Matt, check out his Instagram page, My Lockdown Sketchbook. Thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production. Music by Corey Knoxville.